Hear now these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast a net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But their disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. The second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He then said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter fell hurt because he had said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Very truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, Follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus said to him, If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. So the rumor spread in the community that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is it to you? This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we know this testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. All right. Now, a few weeks ago, I went by Walgreens to pick up some pitchers. It was on Easter Sunday. And I was talking to a young lady at the photo section there, and it's the same Walgreens that whenever you saw me on Good Friday, you drove by and yelled at me. Josh was in there on that same Good Friday, the Walgreens, and we had a little Bible study, and so it's kind of funny because I felt bad about having a service here on Good Friday, but at the time I thought I'd be stuck in play practice, and I thought, well, I'll go to Keith, and I thought on my way to Keith, I'll swing by the Walgreens, and then lo and behold, there's Josh, and we had a Bible study in right from the photo section, and then go out of the parking lot, and Debra's driving by yelling at me, you know, and I thought, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Now I saw two of my prisoners at Walgreens, okay? That just shows God can visit you where he wants you, when he wants you, and how he wants you. Well, I went back on Easter Sunday because I had a sunrise service and did the sermon here and left here, went to my other church. We had an Easter service and the egg hunt. And I came back here. My sister had blown up my phone with all these pictures of my nephew and her and her foster child. And so I turned those into Walgreens, got those developed because it always makes mom happy to get a big old 8x10 of her daughter and grandkids. And you don't have no 8x10 by me, you know. She sees me every day, I guess. So, but no, that side, no, she likes getting pictures of. And I went down there, and it was kind of late in the evening at that point, and I was chit-chatting with a young lady at the photo section. And she says, and I really was heartbreaking. And I said, well, dear, I said, well, how's your day been, you know, and making conversation like I always do with cashiers, waitresses, and such. And he goes, oh, that's been a rough day. I said, no, and I can tell they've been busy because of those boxes of pictures. And she told me how rude people were on Sundays. And it always makes me cringe because I'm like, oh, Lord, that's that Sunday crowd from church. So I thought, that's not good. That's bad advertisement. And I said, well, that's not good. I said, well, it's always like that at the holidays. I said, well, yeah, but holiday means holy day. I said, that's the one day it should be nice all the time, especially on a holy, holy day. Yeah. And then she said, well, I said, it's not like Christmas for a bunch of days. Easter is just one day. And I thought, oh, that's not good either. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm afraid that so many people in the church have that same attitude. Like, we have this whole time of Christmas. Now, really, in church, it's Christmas starts on Christmas and goes on for a few weeks, right? But in the world, it starts at midnight on Thanksgiving Day, you know. And we go to Black Friday shopping. You know, you go eat that turkey and you say, Lord, thank you for all our blessings. We're so grateful you bless us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then, oh my goodness, I got to be there at 2:00. I got to buy something I really need. You know? And then by the time Christmas rolls around, everybody's worn out. I remember I had a neighbor down the street. He's in heaven now, but he kind of tickled me because, I mean, the day after Christmas, he was outside taking down that nativity scene. Like, I'm ready for Jesus to go on. He was worn out. And then what about Easter? No, in Methodist world, you know, sometimes we spend 40 days of Lent, right, fasting, giving something up. And then we have Easter, have fun, and then boom, we move on. How come we don't have 40 days of feasting and celebration? The Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. He would appear, and he would disappear, and appear, and reappear. And yet, we act like Easter is this one-day event, and then it's done, we move on with it. You know, really, it's this entire season between Christ being raised from the tomb and his ascension, as we see in that stained glass window over here. And so, in today's scripture reading, we have another event of the Easter season. It takes place in Galilee. My translation says the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. You know, the Herod family had renamed it the Sea of Tiberias in honor of the emperor there. But, and it talks about we got Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John, and then this mysterious two other disciples. We don't know who they are. Doesn't tell us. Now, I have a guess on one of them, but, you know. And so Peter says, I'm going fishing. No, he's just tired of waiting. I'm going fishing. No, Peter's a fisherman. Now they said, we'll go along with you. I don't know if these guys even knew how to fish, some of them, right? Like Nathaniel and Thomas. No, James and John, they were partners. And so all night long, they are fishing and catch nothing. And then the sunrise, and here's this stranger on the beach, and he says, children, have you caught any fish? We haven't caught anything. Cast your nets to the right side, and you'll find some. Well, I mean, some random stranger gives you advice. Do you take it? I got nothing to lose, right? We're out in the boat. We might as well give it a try. They cast out the net to the right side. Next thing you know, they caught a whole school of fish. I can't imagine the boat kind of moved like that, right? I always think about that scene in the movie Jaws when the gentleman says, we need a bigger boat, right? We need a bigger boat. And then it said, the disciple whom Jesus loved turns to Simon Peter and says, Peter, it's the Lord, you know? Because if you recall, way back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he got in the boat with Simon Peter. In fact, I did a lesson about this. And there's Andrew, James, and John. They've been fishing all night, and they're tired. And Jesus said, let's go out. And he says, oh, Lord, we've been out all night. I'm ready to go home. I mean, here I am washing my nets. But you say so. Went out and caught that miraculous catch of fish. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu again. You know, oh, my goodness. So the blood disciple goes, Peter, it's the Lord. And then this verse always kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped to the sea. Now what that really means is that he has stripped down to his underwear, probably, because you imagine wearing a robe and going fishing does not go well with each other, does it? So there he was. So he grabbed his robe, and then, kind of ironic, though, he put the robe on and then jumped into the ocean, you know, just... Now, it's funny because you're drowning, right? They tell you to kick your shoes off, take off your jacket. And Peter, he was on the rope and just out swimming. So here's these disciples in the boat, and there's Simon Peter out swimming. No walking water this time, Herb. He's out swimming, okay, to get to Jesus. And so the disciples came along, and they're dragging the net of fish. And it says, and I always thought this kind of interesting too. It says, they were not far off from land, only about 100 yards off. I'm thinking, John, you got a different definition, not far from land. I think if I was one football field away from land, I'd think, oh my goodness, this take me forever to get back there. I don't get to 100 yards off away from in the Hawassa River, I'm sure. So they get there. There's a charcoal fire, fish, and bread. Jesus had prepared breakfast. And then Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. So Simon Peter, and here's Peter with his robe on, soaking wet, goes back and gets some fish. It said 153 of them. So many, yet the net was not torn. And then Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And I always thought this is interesting. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. In other words, they didn't recognize him at first. Now they know this is Jesus. And what does Jesus do? As always, Jesus plays the role of servant. The Son of Man not come to be served, but to serve. Lay down his life as a ransom for many. It says Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now when I read that, I think about the Lord's Supper, when he takes the bread and breaks it. When he fed the multitudes and took the bread and broke it. The idea of this servant. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, I want you to think about your own life. What if I told you that, I said, you can come to church next Sunday and come here early for breakfast, and you can have breakfast with a loved one who's passed away. They're going to be here eating breakfast with you. Who would you pick? What would you talk about? Would it be about good memories, or would it be someone you felt you love, but maybe you had a falling out with and you never got reconciled with? I remember reading a story out of a book by the Focus on the Family folks about a nurse, and this man was brought in, and he had some kind of heart attack. He was in bad shape, and he asked the nurse to call his daughter. And so the nurse called the daughter, and to her, it was just, no, just taking care of business, what you always do, no, next of kin. And she said, hey, so-and-so, I'm nurse so-and-so at so-and-so hospital. I'm here to let you know that your dad's been brought in. He's been admitted. He suffered a massive heart attack. And then, to her surprise, the daughter started screaming and carrying on. And she said, where is he now? And she said, it's okay, we're working on it. She said, no, you don't understand. I haven't spoken to my dad in years. Got into a fight, and I refused to talk to him. And she said, I'm coming right over. And unfortunately, the gentleman went to the code blue, and they worked on him. And by the time the daughter got there, he passed away. And so the daughter was standing there at the bed. She was sobbing. And there was the nurse. And then she happened to notice a piece of paper, hospital stationery, to the side. She picked it up, read it, and then said, read this. And before the old man died, he had found that stationery and wrote, dear and daughter's name, I love you. And I know you love me too. I forgive you. I mean, it was that close, you know. And the nurse said then she left her alone with her dad, and then she went on her break and called her mom and dad, talked to them, tell them how she would love and appreciate them. Now, Simon Peter, what was the last thing he and Jesus kind of saw each other for sure we know of? In Luke's gospel, it says that Peter denied the Lord, and the rooster crowed. And it said, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now, I don't think Jesus was disappointed, because he had warned Simon Peter this is going to happen. But you got to imagine the shame and reproach on Peter. Three times, not once, not twice, but three times, he said, I don't even know who this Jesus is. You're talking to the wrong person. And so here at the breakfast table, Jesus looks at Simon and says, Simon, son of John. Now, John, by the way, is a Greek version of the name Jonah, which I think is probably, if your dad's named Jonah, that means you're going to be a fisherman, right? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. That'd be like here at our church. That'd be like Levi and the twins and little Betsy, the screw over here. Well, we're still at the breakfast table, and then Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Take care of my flock. Isn't it interesting how in 1 Peter, Peter writes to the Christian leaders and says, you're the shepherds of the flock. Take good care of the flock until the great shepherd returns. And then a third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And it says that Peter felt hurt because Jesus asked him for a third time, do you love me? Now, question, why did Jesus ask Peter three times at the breakfast table, do you love me? I think it was a spiritual way of kind of undoing those three times that Peter said, I don't know who he is. I don't know him. I don't know him. And so Jesus is kind of undoing that with a, of course I love you. Yes, I love you. Of course I love you. And so Peter gets a little exasperated with him and says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then he says, very true, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt to go everywhere you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. And I don't know if Peter understood what that meant or not at the time. Do what? A belt? Stretch out my hands? But see, remember, Peter made a promise to the Lord. He said, I would die for you. And according to traditions, when Nero was persecuting the Christians in the 60s, Peter went back to Rome. And what happened? He was crucified. They put a belt around him, attached him to a cross, and stretched out his hands. And according to one tradition, he has to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die as Jesus had died. And John goes on to say, he said this to indicate the kind of death by which he will glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, follow me. And so here's Peter walking down the beach with Jesus. And here's their disciples coming behind him. And then Peter turns and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. And said, Lord, what about him? Now, it always reminds me of school, right? When the students were like, well, what about him? What about her? Well, it doesn't matter, honey. We're not talking about him or her. We're talking about you. And I kind of think this disciple might be known Lazarus. You know, Lazarus had been raised from the dead. Maybe folks thought he would live forever and ever. And so Peter looks at him and says, well, Lord, what about him? And Jesus said to Peter, if it is my will that he remains alive till I come back, what is that to you? Follow me. Over and over again, Jesus is telling Peter, follow me. At the very beginning, he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Later on in his ministry, he said, any man wishes to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. At the breakfast table, he said, follow me. And here, walking down the beach, he says, follow me. In other words, Peter, quit worrying about the disciple and that disciple. You need to be focused on me. Follow me. And of course, that got a rumor started. The rumor was that the disciple would not die. And the author tells us, well, no, that's not what he said. Jesus said, if I want this disciple to live till I come back, what is that to you? And then it ends with these two verses. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we, the church community, we know this testimony is true. And in verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. At Central High School, one of my students, Michaela Jenkins, made a piece of artwork using the old books. And that's the verse she picked for me, her librarian. The idea that if you had written down everything Jesus did, the world itself could not contain all the books. So, where are we in this story? Are we one of the disciples on the beach having breakfast with the Lord? And we're like, well, I'm going to ask who it is. I know that's Jesus. Or are we Simon Peter and we got some guilt we're dealing with, some shame, and Jesus is very lovingly trying to reconcile us and saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Are we like Peter and we're a little more concerned about what the Lord is doing in someone else's life? But Lord, what about him? What about her? It doesn't matter. We have our marching orders, literally, marching orders. Follow me. You know. And then it talks about how the world itself cannot contain the books that be written. You know, we've been walking the footsteps of Jesus since November. You know. And our gospel accounts, as good as they are, only contain a small portion of everything he said and did in his lifetime. Yeah. I think one of the blessings of the heaven be, we get to heaven and get, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. Yeah. So today, I want you to encourage you to remember that we are still in the Easter season. We are here to celebrate a risen Savior. This is the Savior who meets us on the beach, helps us and say, cast your nets to the right side, bring a fish. And we come to meet him. He's got breakfast ready for us and serves breakfast. And then when there's kind of some static between us and him, he's the Savior who breaks the static, breaks the ice, and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then he gives us projects to do. Feed my lambs. That'd be our children's ministry. Feed my sheep, our young adults. Tend to my flock. That'd be our congregation as a whole. That's the responsibility of all Christians. We need to be doing that. And then those two words, follow me. We shall always be walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And so this morning, I'm feeling like you're on the beach, and there in the sand, you see the sandal prints of Jesus. Put down your nets and follow Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.